Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you are listening to Total EM. This is going to be a shorter podcast, as we have been doing some longer podcasts as of late. And this is to cover a very specific issue, but one that we are continuing to see, and that is the use of tear gas and pepper spray for crowd control. And the problem is that sometimes we may run across these people but not know how to manage them. So I want to talk specifically about those two because they are two agents that we frequently see, and it's best to know how to manage them before they come to you. But right now, with protests across the country, it is very important that we know some of the best ways to be able to manage these patients and what evidence there is on how to manage them. Let's first talk about pepper spray. So pepper spray is a lacrimatory agent, so it stimulates the eyes to produce tears. Its active ingredient is olorosin capsicum, which is the active chemical that we see in what with the heat we feel with chili peppers. The dispersion is usually in an aerosol or liquid spray. And I've got some images that you can also see on the website to get a better idea of what this looks like. And it can cause irritation of the eyes and pain, which can result in a temporary blindness. Additionally, it can cause burning and swelling of the nasal mucosa, as well as a runny nose. And if it's inhaled, it can suddenly increase blood pressure and shortness of breath. In patients with asthma or COPD, it can cause complications that can lead to death. To talk a little more about the actual dispersion system, so these can be, like I said, from like a canister where it can spray up to 12 feet, or they have basically like a little semi-automatic launcher that looks very similar to paintball guns, and they can contain roughly 180 rounds, and they have a very long range of up to 150 feet. So these projectiles can go long ranges, and they can have them in mass quantity, which can help with hitting people that are further away still versus when they're up closer needing an aerosol canister and a larger amount of spray at once. This can sometimes also be dispersed in like a fog type pattern with these canisters versus a straight spray. As far as how the treatment goes, any clothing that has pepper spray on it should be taken off as soon as possible. It's important to avoid pulling the clothing over the head, as that will only risk contamination, especially to the eyes, more. Clothing should be stored in a plastic bag that is sealed and can be safely disposed. As far as the actual disposal, this can depend and should be consulted with maybe health department or poison control, as sometimes these may be able to be cleaned. Other times it may be best to just have them thrown away in a safe place that can tolerate the chemicals being present. Washing the skin with copious amounts of soap and water is important to help avoid further spread. It is vital to avoid rubbing eyes, as this can cause the compound to spread or go deeper. Blinking and flushing the eyes can help remove the oils from the pepper spray. Baby shampoo or diluted dishwashing soap may be helpful. While milk has been used, it only reduces the burning sensation but does not remove the oil. Based on a 2018 study, baby shampoo does not appear to work any better than plain water. So in this case, like usual with a lot of these chemicals, water seems to be the mainstay, but there are some other things that you could use, such as, again, milk, which may help with the burning sensation but not removal of the oil. And the oil needing to be removed is a key aspect to help with symptom control. Whenever you're in doubt, just like with anything else, call your regional poison control center at 1-800-222-1222. Moving on to tear gas, which is actually a powder that is released as an aerosol. There are two types commonly used by law enforcement, and that is CS or CN. It activates pain receptors to the areas affected and can be considered a nerve agent with the way it works. It can cause exaggerated muscle cramping, leading to involuntary closing of the eyelids, excessive tearing, blurry vision, itchiness, temporary blindness, chemical burns, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. It can also be difficult for someone who's been exposed to swallow, and this can lead to drooling. Once again, people with asthma or COPD are at higher risk for complications, so recognizing those conditions early and being more aggressive in the treatment of those patients can be key to avoid complications up to and including death. Both pepper spray and tear gas can cause significant complications long-term, such as pulmonary edema, glaucoma, or laryngospasm. Tear gas can similarly be dispersed like the pepper spray. However, usually you're using larger projectiles to be able to send it and to be able to help with the dispersion. So there are tear gas hand grenades, and they contain the powder that is heated and mixed with a liquid or solvent, and then it's released from the canisters as an aerosol. You can sometimes throw these things up to 160 feet, and the gas emits usually for about 20 seconds. There are revolving canister launchers that are filled with tear gas grenades, and they can usually contain 4 to 6 rounds, and the range for them is 150 feet. Treatment for tear gas is similar to pepper spray. Those exposed need to be removed from the environment and taken to fresh air. The vapor cloud is dense, so higher ground can also be beneficial to avoid exposure. Just like pepper spray, quickly removing clothing, washing the skin with soap and water, and irrigating the eyes with copious amounts of water is beneficial. It is important to dispose of contacts, but glasses, once properly cleaned, may be used again. This is all meant to be a short review. This is something that, like I said, if you're in a pinch and you can't remember this and you can't find resources right away, just remember you can always reach out to your regional poison control center by calling 1-800-222-1222. If you are someone who's going to a protest, you can also use protective measures. Keep in mind that simple masks will not be enough to keep the chemical away. Usually these require much sturdier masks, such as proper gas masks. However, it's also important to keep in mind that wearing long sleeve clothing, so long sleeve shirts and jeans or other long pants, will help avoid the chemicals getting on your skin, as well as using eye protection, not only to try and help keep those chemicals out, but to try and help protect from rubber bullets. It's also key that if you're going to use eye protection, especially if there's any concern for projectiles, that you're using something that is graded for basically environments where there may be projectiles or exposures. So these are usually like OSHA approved glasses, for example. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.